This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Earth Matters. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Many of us have aspirations of saving the world, but often we're too lazy or too disorganized to actually do anything about it. Enter the Malaysia Environmental Sustainability Youth Movement, or MESYM for short, a one-stop online spot which brings you all the information you need to get your environmental gears going. Joining me now to share how they connect the green dots are Dr. Jun E. Tan and Leonardo Losovis, both co-founders and general managers of MESYM. Welcome to the show. So firstly, could you share your respective work backgrounds? Are you both involved in, you know, environmental or conservation work?
Maybe I'll go first. I'm a policy analyst. I actually work with ICES Malaysia. And what I do for work is to find out what's happening on the ground and provide policy recommendations and such. So I thought that it would be very interesting to have a database of environmental movements in Malaysia to basically show us what's happening on the ground. And therefore, there's a website for it now, after 2 years.
Okay. Nothing like that for me. I'm actually a normal dude. I'm not a researcher, not a scholar, or anything of the sort. I'm just somebody who cares about the environment and who is trying to do that tiny bit, okay, that I can to help.
And have either of you worked with other environmental organizations before MESYM came into the picture?
Not really. Actually, this is part of why the platform is in place, is because we needed to know what's happening on the ground before we engaged ourselves with any organization, and therefore it just never ended, the research. Yeah.
And so basically then, you've mentioned one of the reasons why MESYM exists. Could you tell me more about it? You know, what does the what do you do? What was the motivation behind starting it all?
Okay, I'll go for this one. So the idea is is that we want to actually help the environment somehow. I mean, we are all concerned about climate change particularly, and we are trying to mobilize people to do something about it. So that's the reason why we actually started. It's a website, right? And everyone is actually allowed to come and either participate through giving their opinion on what they think about what's going on. I mean, we're talking about Malaysia, we have so many problems, right? Like the drought and the haze, right? So people have the right to participate. So in that sense, what we actually try to do is to create a space for people to also give their bit. And I think in that sense is important, the sense of give their bit, because for instance, I mean, we're not necessarily experts on any given field, but we're people who care, and we believe that the way to go forward is by getting more people to help you, right? So that's basically what we're trying to do with this website.
So right now then, if I were to go onto MESYM, what would I see?
You will see that it's a crowdsource platform. So the word crowdsource might be a little bit confusing. I'm not sure if everyone knows. But for instance, Wikipedia is a crowdsource platform. So the idea with Wikipedia is that you have a community of people who have, some of them have the knowledge and some of them want to get the knowledge. So there's a transfer of knowledge from one side to the other. So we're trying to do exactly the same with the environment, with environmental issues. That's one thing that you can actually disseminate information. So for instance, you have university students. They actually have to do research or field trips to, say, Tasikchini. And they can perfectly share the information with their fellow classmates, or even with students from other universities. That's the first thing. And the second thing, that is actually the most important one, is that we do not want this to be a website. We want this to actually become something tangible, right? You know, I mean, when we're talking about websites, you know, you might think about Facebook and that you like a page and that you're done, right? You know, you have done your day, you know. But we don't want to just have one like. We want people to actually get together in real life and do something about the problem. So what we actually want MESYM to do is a platform for people to come together, talk to each other, find partners, find friends, and then get together and initiate an environmental project of, it could be small, it could be big, okay? Anyone can decide on that.
Yeah, in other words, there are like three components. So one is to provide information or to share information. And then there is the networking part where you understand what's happening and get to know other people who have the same interests as you do. And then the third part, which is the most important part, is to get people to go offline to participate. So information and networking and participation is essentially what we do, basically.
And when it comes to the networking right now, it is reliant on the users themselves, right, to kind of seek one another out and then take that offline and go do a project.
Yeah, well, we also provide an offline avenue for them to actually see themselves as a community, get together. And how we do that is we have twice a month a documentary event, and then people will just come and hang out and watch a film and talk about it, and through that actually form relationships, friendships, you know, and then build projects together because we're all concerned about, you know, the same thing, the environment.
And was this modeled after an existing program or organization? Did you kind of look at somebody and go, okay, I think this is going to work for us. Let's try and co-opt a little bit of that.
Well, actually, it is replicating a few other successful models. One of them is Couchsurfing. So the idea behind Couchsurfing is that you have a community of couchsurfers. What is that? I'm traveling, say that I come to Malaysia, I come to Kuala Lumpur. I'm not from Kuala Lumpur. And I want to stay in somebody's place, like a local place. So through this website, you get to contact the person, and they say, hey, I want to stay at your place. Is that fine? Yeah, sure, you can come. Right? So then you have a connection that started online, and it actually became something offline.
And it's a mutual agreement.
It's a mutual agreement, and there's something for everyone. So, for instance, if I'm actually surfing somebody's place, I'm staying at their place, I'm learning their culture, I might be even staying for free because I'm not paying for the hotel, and they might benefit from also learning from my culture or learning my language. So we're trying to do something similar in that sense, in the sense that you have a community of people who can get together and they can benefit one from each other.
So how did you get it off the ground then? You know, you had this idea, you had a platform that you thought, okay, I think this is something that we could work around, we could replicate. How did you go from that to it being what it is now?
Oh, it's extremely tough.
Leo is our developer, so we already have the tech site covered. And from my side is the research. And I think before we came into the picture, there was also a lot of other things happening already. So Mesim sort of is trying to help everyone, you know, organize things and keep that in a digital sort of format, so that we know what has happened and then now how to build upon it. Yeah.
And who are the different stakeholders that you engaged with, you know, to help get Mesim off the ground as well as get your activities going? You know, things like the documentary screenings and so on.
So we have friends in civil society organizations, and then we are trying to engage university students. On the other side, I think we're also trying to get this information across to policymakers and basically everyone who has a stake in the environment, who needs to have more information on their hands before starting to do something, or who needs to reach out to other people, can find something useful in the website itself. So we're trying to basically have events, projects, and discussions, and all that stuff that will equip people with some idea before they get their hands dirty, in that sense.
Yeah, and we are also trying to engage with young people mainly, if anything, because they are the ones who are going to have to face the big challenge, say climate change, right? So in that sense, we are particularly trying to get involved with high school and university students.
So the other point to be made, I suppose, is that the environmental sector, if you could even call it a sector, is so vast. It's from biodiversity to waste management to climate change to haze. You know, there's so many problems. And the point is that everyone's trying to do something, and the efforts add up, and then this is something that we really need to put across it on a map even. We have a map of events and projects on the website, and it gives you an idea of different sorts of small movements that add up to the big movement that we're trying to spur.
And, you know, you've both talked about how important it is to kind of have a stake, to think about what's going on with the environment. And I think most people would agree with that. However, based on, you know, what you've done now with MESIM, based on the participation that you see, are you seeing a lot of engagement with environmental issues on the ground? Are you seeing, you know, interesting diversity of projects? Are you seeing people really engaging with, you know, as you point out rightly, our local problems?
I think that the environmental movement in Malaysia has a very long history from MNS, even before independence, and then from nowadays to like social enterprises that try to address waste, the issue of waste, by upcycling or by reducing packaging and such, like, you know, stuff like that. And the point is that everyone must have something that talks to them, that they're passionate about. And the problem of the environment is so insurmountable in a way, but it's trying to address what that makes you tick the most, yeah, that will actually make things really happen.
And earlier, you know, when you went to universities and, you know, places like that to try and get people interested, how did these stakeholders respond to MESIM? Was there a great level of enthusiasm, you know, that people hear what you were trying to do and get excited about it, or did they require a bit more convincing?
To get excited, yes, everyone gets excited. But to actually start doing things, because, I mean, for instance, what we actually want to do is to create projects in which they can actually collaborate with each other, that goes very slow. So the excitement is there, but it doesn't completely translate into action. I mean, it's very tough. And if anything, it's a work in progress. So there's no stage in which we have succeeded. Quite on the opposite. I mean, we're constantly, you know, like pushing. We're going up. But, you know, somehow, you know, the slope seems to be very kind of like slanted. And sometimes, you know, you need to push harder.
And sometimes you get tired.
Sometimes you get tired, but you have patience, so then you continue. And you know, things go. And the good thing about what we're actually doing is that people appreciate it. So even though, you know, they might not have the time or the energy, right? Because, I mean, say, if you go to the office from 9 to 6, right? You come back home. You're so tired. You don't want to think about all these problems, right? You just want to sit on the couch or, you know, like, just turn the TV on and relax, right? You don't want to worry about all these issues. So people, in that sense, they still appreciate what we're actually doing, and they're like, oh, I really like what we're actually doing, you know.
I'm glad that you're doing it.
I'm glad that you're actually doing it. I couldn't do that, they say.
I'm speaking today with Dr. June Itan and Leonardo Losovis, co-founder and general managers both of MESIM.com. Up next, we find out whether they're a not-for-profit, as well as how our culture influences the conservation sector. On The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me, Dr. June Itan and Leonardo Losovis, co-founder and general manager of MESIM.com, which is the Malaysia Environmental Sustainability Youth Movement. It's meant to be a one-stop online spot, which brings you environmental information and allows you to network to hopefully put together some projects that are going to save our country. So you've described some of the challenges that you faced. What would you say has been your greatest success or accomplishment up to this moment?
I think that the appreciation that comes from people who didn't know about so many things happening on the ground to when they actually browse through the living database, and then they realize that there's actually a lot happening on the ground from all different stakeholders, from young till the older ones. And that's actually quite powerful, because information, I think, is what empowers people to act. So I think that's what keeps us going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that we're actually showing the bigger picture. That's actually quite important, because, I mean, you can do a tiny bit, right? And when you look at it, you're like, what difference am I going to do? You know, I mean, this is not going to change anything. I mean, you look at all the big problems. We have the haze. We have the drought. Okay? What can I do about it? You know, anything that I can do, okay, will not make any difference. But that's when you look at it from the small perspective of just that one person. So what we're actually doing is to actually get out of this view and connect all the people and to tell them, look, I mean, you're part of a bigger thing. And within that bigger thing, your effort actually does make a difference.
So how do you measure your impact then? You know, what are your KPIs?
That's a tough one.
That's a really difficult one.
I mean, how can you? I don't think that there is such a thing like a KPI for what we do. You could actually think of membership. You know, how many users we have in the website. Yeah, fine, but you know, we are not Facebook. We don't want to get 1 billion people.
You want engagement.
We want engagement, exactly. So we may have 20 people who are extremely engaged, or we can have 2,000 people in the website who are just liking things. So in that sense, we don't have the KPI of numbers. And in that sense, to have a KPI on environmental impact is quite difficult because, the things that we actually want to achieve are unsurmountable. We know that we will not actually succeed in the task of, finishing the task. It's ongoing. So in that sense, our success is by having people belonging in this bigger network and they keep on doing things, they don't give up.
Yeah, and I think that we need to have a look on the long term, and this is something that we need to understand, that sustainability is about the long term, and so it's about persistence, it's about going on, and it's about 5 years later you're still there, and 10 years, and then you'll be able to see some really good impact along the way.
So if we don't have a KPI for numbers, which I can completely understand, then how do you measure whether you're doing something right or wrong and when you might need to change your approach?
I think we constantly have conversations and discussions with people that we engage. And the environmental movement is not that big. And we know.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, I think that you have had everyone. So, we were like, okay, finally they called us.
Through that, that sort of feedback that we get from the community is then where we can actually tweak what we do and add in functions that are useful and maybe emphasize less on those that are not.
Yeah, and for example, we get volunteers for projects, right? So if you go to a website, you can put your project up there and you might say, I need people to help me, right? So we actually do those things. We help these small projects get volunteers, right? So it's very tiny, right? I mean, we got one volunteer for this one project. In terms of KPI, it's you don't even take it into account. But it made a difference to that, to the people who are making that one project.
So who makes up the current team behind the organization then besides yourselves?
Mainly it's us, and then we have volunteers that come and go.
Yes.
So, during events, we might engage some volunteers, and we're trying to reach out more to university students as well. Actually, not through them helping us, but through them actually generating their own movements and using the platform. And that's how I think we will have a better impact, because I think we got the platform covered, basically, but it's mainly to get people to push their projects and agendas forward.
We're not trying to be Superman. What we're actually trying to do is to have people do their own stuff, and we actually help them. So we empower them.
And are you a not-for-profit? How do you finance yourselves? How do you keep afloat?
We are a non-profit, and it's kind of difficult to get funding, I think, for these things. And what's fortunate about our project is that we have the human capital behind it. So that's already a big amount, a big part of our costs covered by ourselves, basically. And the rest, we'll just have to see what comes along.
We're looking for sponsors. So if you actually check in the website, there is a section for sponsorship. So if there is any listener here who would like to contribute to the cause, well, they can just give us a call and they can find our contact number there.
And do you think that right now, based on what you're seeing, based on what you're doing, do you think you have the ability to become a game changer in the Malaysian environmental conservation circle?
I would say no doubt, because what we're actually doing is extremely important. I am not saying this in the sense that I am doing this. I'm not arrogant. That's not the point. The point that we're actually doing something that it has a huge social value. And again, we're not talking on the short term, we're talking on the long term. We're not doing this for 3 months. We're talking about a project of 5 years. So this can be potentially huge. You can have, I mean, in my perspective, right, you can have all the different universities in Malaysia, you know, collaborating with each other. So there's so much value there. You know?
There's so many ideas to be shared and so many contacts to be made. And I think that young people nowadays are really rising up to the fact that no one's going to save them. They're going to have to save themselves. And I think in such a situation, our point of entry is to provide them a tool with which they can communicate and can share their ideas. And also importantly is that we are of the information age, and they're already tech savvy. They already know what they need to do with the internet, basically. And so I think a tool like MESIM is quite invaluable for these people who just need a spark, and then they can do whatever that they're passionate about.
Yeah, but in any case, we want to push them, you know, to stop using the phone, or like stop it for one moment and go and do something, real life.
And I believe that both of you have lived and worked overseas. How does Malaysian culture influence the conservation sector as compared to other places that you've been to?
I think that there are a lot of very passionate people. And I think that people here are quite social, and they do see the importance of networking and working together. Maybe a problem might be language. For instance, we're reaching out mostly to the English-speaking urban dwellers, and this is something that we're looking to fix by providing more language features on the platform as well, to reach out to the Malay speakers, to Tamil speakers, and to Chinese speakers. And we're also getting volunteers to translate the website and things like that. So I think Malaysia has the advantage of being very diverse in perspectives, in culture, and everything. And we just basically really need to embrace this and to make it our strength instead of our problem of fragmentation. Yeah.
And are you also going to be working in East Malaysia?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have the map on the website, and of course it covers the whole of Malaysia. And we do already have some organizations that are based there, university clubs and, different civil society organizations working on different issues, conservation and such, indigenous people. So I think that the problems confronting East Malaysia and West Malaysia are similar and different in very interesting ways. And we really need to get everyone talking and working together. Yeah.
You've both spoken about the challenges that you faced here, you know, trying to get it going, trying to keep it going, trying to get people engaged. So what challenges do you foresee for the movement continuing, you know, here in Malaysia? Since, as you rightly point out, it has to be a long-term effort, right? You're looking 5 years, a decade, 20 years ahead.
I think it's still budding at the moment, the movement, although it has been budding for a long time. But it will go up. I have big hopes for where it will go. So it's just basically for people to keep doing, keep pushing for different causes. And that's how we have an eventual, tipping point. So I think we're all trying to get to that point where environmental awareness and consciousness gets mainstream, and it becomes, you know, a moral issue if you don't conserve, you don't recycle. Yeah, so it's starting, and I think because of the natural resource scarcity and the problems that we see with our eyes, the haze and the experience of water crisis and floods and such, that people are starting to think, okay, something's wrong. So the awareness level is there, and we just need to put that into action, basically. And we're there to support that, basically.
And finally, how can the public get involved and in touch with you? If there is somebody listening, a kind potential sponsor, perhaps, who would like to give you a call, how can they get in touch?
That would be lovely. Well, it's quite easy. We have a website, which is MESYM, right?
M-E-S-Y-M.com.
M-E-S-Y-M. And not everyone can actually pronounce it properly. They might say, like, MESYM, MOSYM. Yeah, so that's why we actually had to spell it, M-E-S-Y-M. So there we have all the contact information. And
yeah, you can also subscribe to our mailing list if you want from the website. So we look forward to hearing from you. And yeah.
Thank you both so much. To reiterate again, that website is mesym.com. I have been speaking to Dr. June Eitan and Leonardo Losovis, co-founder and general manager of mesym.com. We've been discussing connecting the green dots on Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.